Welcome to What's Happened, a podcast that explores cases similar to Chris Watts and specifically feature pregnant women that go missing. This episode will be about Amanda K. Jones and will be a two-part series where we cover the case today and have her parents on the following episode where we delve into the details even more. Be sure to stay tuned and subscribe because you will not want to miss this. August 14th, 2005. It was a hot summer day in Missouri. Amanda K. Jones, 26 years old, was weeks away from delivering her baby boy, Hayden. She attended Sunday church services with her parents and her four-year-old daughter, Hannah, that morning. Amanda was expecting a baby boy and was due to deliver between August 21st and 27th of 2005. She became pregnant after she attended a company Christmas party in December of 2004. She worked for Eagle Bank in Festus, Missouri, and they had their annual company Christmas party at the nearby Civic Center in Hillsboro, Missouri. This is where Amanda met a man named Brian Westfall. He was bartending at the event. That evening, the two had a casual hookup and didn't really speak or see each other until a few months later when Amanda discovered she was pregnant. She decided to contact Brian to inform him of the pregnancy and drove over to the Civic Center with her daughter Hannah in tow sometime in February of 2005. When they arrived, she told him that she was pregnant, and his reaction really wasn't what she expected. He initially denied the baby was his and even offered her money for an abortion. Appalled at the idea, Amanda and Hannah left the Civic Center with the plan to have the baby with or without his support. Later in the pregnancy, Amanda found out she was having a baby boy and decided to contact Brian once again to see if he would be interested in the baby's life. She also wanted to let him know that she planned to give him his last name. Brian returned the call on the early morning of August 14th, prior to Amanda and her family leaving for church. Amanda decided to meet up with Brian after church to discuss his role in the baby's life. She left her young daughter in the care of her parents and set off to meet Brian, assuring them that she would return in just a few hours. Amanda's parents were concerned because she was already so far along in her pregnancy and was having a difficult time walking around. Plus, the heat made her miserable, as it would any pregnant woman in their last trimester. Amanda assured them that she would be fine, and she set off on her way to meet up with Brian. The plan, according to what Amanda told her parents, was that she was going to meet Brian at the Civic Center in Hillsboro, and they would drive down to nearby DeSoto, where there is a seafood restaurant called Off the Hook, and they could grab a bite to eat. Bertha and Hugh, Amanda's parents, thought that their daughter would arrive back around 3. When that time came and went, and there was still no sign of Amanda, and then no phone calls and no texts, her parents began to worry. They tried calling her cell phone and home numerous times, getting nothing but voicemail. Amanda's sister Carrie decided to head over to Amanda's house to see if she was there. When she arrived, there was no sign of her. Her sister's answering machine was so full of messages, but they were only from the desperate parents searching for their daughter. Bertha knew only of the name of the man her daughter was meeting. She didn't know much else about him, since he really wasn't a boyfriend or an acquaintance of her prior to them meeting in December. Bertha did know that the White Pages might be a resource for her, so that's where she headed. And she went to the only Westfall in the book. She was able to track him down after a series of phone calls. And once she got him on the line, she asked him, "What happened? You were supposed to go out to lunch with my daughter, and she was supposed to come home, and we haven't seen her." Brian's first story to Bertha was, well, he met, and they went out for lunch, and he dropped her off at her car at 2 p.m. He later called Bertha again and said, "Well, we actually didn't go out to lunch because Amanda was upset, and he wasn't really hungry, so they just left." He then called a third time and said that Amanda spoke to him, but they didn't eat lunch. He left her at 2 p.m. and he went back into work at the Civic Center and Amanda went out to her car, and when he left the Civic Center around 4 or 5, she was still in her car on her cell phone. Knowing that Amanda was supposed to be going to the Civic Center in Hillsboro, the family drove out there and located Amanda's blue Pontiac in the parking lot. Upon initial inspection of the car, there was no sign of Amanda. The doors were unlocked, but her purse, phone, and keys were not in it. Again, Bertha had a very bad feeling, so she called the police. While the police were at her home taking her statement, Brian called yet again. This time, Hugh answered the phone. He said, "Brian, look, if you did anything to hurt my daughter, I will hold you responsible." The police also got on the phone and told Brian that they were going to head out that way for a statement from him. This is also when Brian went and sought legal counsel, and so did apparently his girlfriend. Oh, yeah, Brian had a girlfriend. Amanda's family wasn't even aware that Brian had a girlfriend, and we're pretty sure Amanda didn't either. Brian is still being represented by the same lawyer 13 years, and this investigation into the disappearance of Amanda K. Jones is at a standstill. Detective Doc Combs of the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office spoke with Brian when he came in with his lawyer to give his statement. Combs was taken aback when he saw Brian enter with the lawyer because he felt, why would you pay for someone if you're not going to need them? He then stated that Brian said Amanda mentioned that she was receiving about $600 a month for child support from her ex-husband, and that amount would be what she would expect to receive from him. Brian stated that it was a civil conversation, but they didn't really agree on anything or come to an agreement on anything, and that Amanda went to her car, and it was about 2 p.m., and that was the last time he saw her.
Amanda K. Jones, 26 years old at the time of her disappearance, would be 40 years old today. When she disappeared, she was 5'8", 215 pounds. She had brown hair with blonde highlights and blue eyes. She has a dolphin tattoo on her upper left torso. She was last seen wearing a pink sleeveless top with a pink floral skirt, pink sandals. She was also carrying a pink purse. The FBI is offering a $20,000 reward for any information that leads to Amanda and her unborn son's location and or information leading to the identity of the person or persons involved with their disappearance. A little background on Amanda is that she was once married to Hannah's father. Hannah is her current daughter. His name was Jeffrey. They also call him Scott. From 1999 to 2002. They didn't have any custody issues, and Scott was cleared as a suspect early on, and he ultimately gained custody of their daughter Hannah after Amanda's disappearance. Unfortunately, Scott passed away 2 years later. After Amanda's disappearance, leaving Hannah to be raised by Bertha and Hugh, where she still is today. After police began to assist in the disappearance, they noted several things. Additionally, they suspected Amanda walked away from her life. Amanda's parents refute that theory because their daughter had absolutely no reason to do such a thing. Plus, she was excited about the baby. She even had a room all set up for Hayden and a bassinet in her room for when he came home from the hospital. Also, Amanda has Graves' disease, which she requires medication to survive. She left that medication at home. If she was planning to leave, why wouldn't she take her medication? Also, she was very involved in her daughter's life. And there was no way she would just walk away from her like that. Brian has not been interested in commenting on the case. He was approached numerous times over the past 13 years, and each time the offers to speak were declined by his attorney. Law enforcement has stated that they have been granted limited searches of the property where Brian lives and the property of his parents. The combined square footage of land they own is over 15 million square feet, and it is mainly rural farm land with a few homes. Police claim that a team of 80 searchers checked the grounds of the Civic Center and turned up no evidence. The Civic Center is over 5,300 square feet, much smaller than the 15 million square foot of their home. So I wonder how many searches it would take for that. They haven't, and you know, they've only had limited range. And it took 80 just to cover the 5,300 square feet. So she could be anywhere on that property. And they haven't even executed one search warrant yet. Brian's truck was only subject to a visual search. And to this date, there has not been any forensic evidence recovered. Search warrants executed for polygraphs given that the media is aware of, zero. In 2016, Crime Watch Daily did a segment on Amanda and went to Brian Westfall's home in an attempt to get a statement. In a video that is available online, you can see that Brian flees in his tractor and his parents later come out to defend their son. Police have obtained Amanda's phone records and show that she was not on her phone during the time when Brian has claimed. She was sitting in her car at about 5 p.m. and on the phone. That is incorrect because phone records corroborate that she is not. The last known phone call was an incoming call around 1:19 p.m. that Amanda received from her ex-sister-in-law, Rhonda. Rhonda was a Mary Kay rep and was calling Amanda about an order she had placed. Call with Amanda is a very unusual one. She said Amanda said she couldn't talk right now and seemed very abrupt. She said Amanda has never ever spoken to her that way before and it was out of character. This time Amanda received a phone call would be around the time she was with Brian Westfall. She was also mentioning the number 8, like the 7, 8, 9, the number 8 many times, which is, you know, to this day puzzling many people. Police state they were unable to ping Amanda's phone but did obtain surveillance footage of her shopping at a nearby Walgreens on 8/14/2015. At around 12:30 p.m. Prior to meeting up with Brian, the tape shows her purchasing a can of hairspray and a Dr. Pepper soda. Those items were the only things along with the receipt that were found in her car. An interesting thing to note, her car did not have a working air conditioner, and the soda was never opened. Knowing she was actually on the phone at 5 p.m. as Brian claims is one thing, but she was about to give birth, sitting in a hot car with no AC and didn't even take a drink of her soda for over 5 hours. I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. Okay, so there's just so many lies that he's telling that I don't understand how the police couldn't obtain a search warrant for his property. especially seeing he has a tractor and other tools to dig a very deep grave. Police have also claimed that a 3D ultrasound picture of baby Hayden that was recently taken was found in the car along with the baby book that Amanda had bought. To this date, the family has yet to see these items as police refuse to give them, claiming it is considered evidence. 13 years later, and the family and friends of Amanda K. Jones are still seeking answers. If you have any information on the disappearance of Amanda and her unborn son Hayden, please contact the FBI. You can remain 100% anonymous. The years of guilt and shame have got to be wearing on you. So if you know anything, please go to tips.fbi.gov to submit an anonymous tip. You can also call the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department at 636-797-5527 and submit an anonymous tip there too. This is a person, a mom, daughter, a sister, a best friend, a cousin, a life. And if you have a heart, you know what to do. Tune in next week when we discuss the case in further. Detail with our special guests. Bertha and Hugh. We are so honored to have them on the show and hope that this helps shed light on the case and bring Amanda and baby Hayden home. Thank you.